And now, unprecedented access to one of America's premier motorsports organizations. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio's Dialed In with Claire Bilen and Roush Fenway Racing invite you to come inside
Jack's Garage.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Roush Fenway Racing.
Before the cars hit the track
and the crews hit the pit, everyone convenes in Jack's Garage.
Jack's Garage.
Here's Claire Bilen. Welcome to Jack's Garage.
Welcome to Jack's Garage. You know, any time that I have Mark Martin on the air, I consider it a gift to the fans because Mark Martin is a Hall of Famer and he's a storied competitor in our sport. And, you know, he has so many things he could be doing at night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but agrees to come on. He is helping to induct his friend Jack Roush into the NASCAR Hall of Fame this Friday night. He himself is a Hall of Famer. Couldn't be more pleased to welcome Mark Martin. Mark, thank you for coming on tonight. It's a big deal.
Hey, Claire. It's great to be on with you. Yes, well, I'm excited about Friday night. This is really, really going to be fun. And, you know, I can't wait to get there. It's just going to be a great night.
You know, Mark, I know Jack, and I love Jack Roush. I think he is he's a very strong and very proud man, very loyal to his people at his company. And I know that when you were put in the Hall of Fame, 2017, I know he was so proud of you and wanted it so bad. And what was it like when you got inducted with him there, supporting you?
Well, it was just, you know, he was just like I said in my induction speech. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't be in there. He is responsible for giving me a second chance at NASCAR. Many great drivers don't ever get a first chance, and for me, I made the first chance happen and failed at it. And you know, I didn't think I was going to get another chance, and he gave me that chance. And the thing that really makes Jack Roush, you know, a real special Hall of Famer, NASCAR Hall of Famer, is if you look at his racing career in NASCAR, he never hired an established driver ever. I would say Jamie McMurray is the only driver that he ever hired that, you know, had established a Cup career, and I begged Jack to do that. You know, it was our intention that Jamie would replace me in the sixth car, and then things, you know, a lot of things happened, and that wound up changing a little bit, but that was the intention. But you know, Jeff Burton had run some races and stuff, but basically my point is Jack Roush gave the tools, the resources, the tools and the opportunities to people to realize their dreams, and not only drivers but crew people as well. It's Jack's really his favorite thing to do is to take somebody that's got a big heart and give him the opportunity to realize his dreams. It's a little bit like Jack Roush is. You know, he's all about heart. Not so much about what you could do, not so much about what you have done, but what you could do with the right opportunity. And he's gave that opportunity to many, many people in racing.
What was it like all the years you and Jack were side by side, where good times, bad times, struggles, wins, you know, challenges? What was that like with you and Jack?
Well, you know, Jack is not an easy guy to get to know, especially back in the early years. Jack was very, very intense. And of course I was too. And I was scared of Jack. Jack held my career in the palm of his hand, and you know, I didn't know Jack well, and he didn't know me well, and he wanted to make sure that you know, that he kept me in my place. And you know, we just didn't know each other that well. We worked our guts out to succeed, you know, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. But as the years wore on, you know, Jack started to get to know me, and I started to get to know him more, and I started to see his blind loyalty. I mean, that guy is loyal to a fault, and you know, I started to appreciate that, and I never really felt like that I was one of those guys that he would be loyal to. It was some of the other people that I saw that had been around him for years that he was so loyal to, but I didn't realize that, you know, through the mid years of us being together, that I was becoming one of those people that he would be loyal to. And then, you know, later on in the years, you know, it became apparent that, you know, that he had a lot of appreciation for what I had done, you know, the contributions that I made to the organization. When we built that thing from scratch, there wasn't team alliances, technical alliances, I mean, you know, or anything like that. You had to do it all yourself and learn it all yourself. And we learned, we went to the University of Hard Knocks for sure. And mm-hmm. we went to them together, and we fought tooth and nail together, and we suffered many you know, disappointments and defeats along the way, and you know, just built a bond that you could never break. There's nothing that could ever break the bond that I feel that Jack and I have for one another. And he's just he's a great guy, a great person. He's so dedicated to winning, and the smartest guy, really, one of the smartest guys that I ever had an opportunity to be around. Jack was very much, and he straightened me out one day that I wasn't old enough to be his son, but he was very much a father figure to me. And, you know, I said one time, I don't care what I was going to do in life, even if it was manage a little league baseball team, I'd want Jack Roush to be my partner in it, because, you know, Jack just has a way of analyzing, very, very much analytical, and can analyze things, and he's a smart guy. He just knows how to make things work.
Yeah, and Jack can be funny. Jack has got a wicked sense of humor, too, if you catch his humor, right? He's a one-liner guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he's a lot more humorous now. I'm going to tell you now, in 1988, he was dead serious. Yeah, I'm telling you, he was dead serious. 88, 89, oh, boy, he was, you know, he was dead serious. It was all eye on the ball, no cutting up. But, you know, as the years wore on, and as he got more comfortable, you know, with the people that were around him, and you know, more comfortable in NASCAR and everything, you know, he really started to lighten up and open up a lot, and you know, it became really a lot of fun. And I just enjoy every minute that I get to spend with him. I don't get to see him very often, but it was really good times. You know, the Hall of Fame induction, having him there was real special to me. And then, you know, we spent some time together since then. You know, and every time that we have a chance to get together, it's special for me.
You will deliver the induction speech for him. Is that it, right?
I think I just induct him, like on this day of whatever, you know, I officially induct you. I guess they'll give me a script because I don't know what it is. But it can't be too hard because they haven't even told me what it is yet. But that's the only part that I will do, I think, for him. So put his ring on. I think put his ring on. So, you know, that's fitting. You know, Jack did that for me, and 2 years ago, I guess it was, or 3 years ago it'll be, and so it'll be cool to be able to reciprocate.
Right. Like, it is a line, I think, that you give, and then you have the ring there, and you just induct him, and that's the role. It's very, very, it's a very prestigious role to do that with for anyone. You raced against Davey Allison and Jeff Gordon and Alan Kulwicki. What about the rest that are being inducted this Friday night?
Well, every class is a tremendous class, and, you know, every year it seems like the class is, you know, it's so special. And this one is extremely special. You know, it was so time to get Davey and Alan both in there. You know, I'm just I'm really, really pleased. I'm happy for you know, just the Allisons and Liz, all of his family and all of his fans. He had a lot of fans. Davey did, and it's so fitting also to have Alan inducted in. It's overdue, but unfortunately, there are so many great people, you know, legends in our sport, that you just can't get them in fast enough. But this year is Alan's getting in, so that's, you know, the thing about Alan is what he accomplished will never be done again, ever. I mean, I'm positive of that. I mean, it's just absolutely unheard of. It's something that, you know, I actually tried to do myself in 1982 and failed miserably at it. And so, you know, I think that people today forget what Alan did, but he came from you know, no money in Wisconsin, to winning races in Wisconsin, to moving to NASCAR with no major backing, you know, raced on a shoestring budget, I would call it, definitely as compared to the Junior Johnsons and Hendrick Motorsports and the people he was racing against. And he did it. I mean, he did it. He succeeded. He won races, and by damn, he won a championship too. And he did it with just guys, you know, Tony Gibson and Peter Rabbit, and just the regular guys, just guys in the garage area of a NASCAR race. You know, they formed a team that was able to pull off the accomplishment of the century, I believe.
You know, I wanted to ask you about a news story, and if you don't know about it, that's fine. I don't expect you to follow the news, but a bit earlier today, there was a severe penalty that came down in the K&N East Series, and it was DGR Crosley for an unapproved NASCAR K&N Pro Series East test, which occurred earlier this month at New Smyrna. They're going to appeal it, but the team was sanctioned for conducting a private test with a NASCAR K&N Pro Series East vehicle at New Smyrna, and NASCAR's statement said the rule limits testing at a sanctioned track on the K&N Pro Series e-schedule, and the infraction was a P6, and this is really very serious, like 100 driver and owner points. But what we're talking about today is testing, and, you know, people were saying, well, you know, they should just let everybody test where they want. Well, you can't do that because obviously it's too expensive. How do you feel about testing, and did you hear anything about this today?
Yeah, I've followed it a little bit, and I can't speak with authority on exactly what happened, but right. From what it sounds like is that ARCA cars and the K&N cars are very, very similar, and they played this test off as an ARCA test. You know, so it's kind of sticky. Incredibly similar race cars. So I hate it. I'm crushed for David Gillen. I think that what David is doing is admirable, you know, putting together a successful organization and everything. And I really hate it for him. And I don't know where it all goes. I hate that he's, you know, most likely it's going to be hard to win an appeal, because it's pretty rare to win one when you're going up against NASCAR. But yeah, I think that they considered that ARCA does not race at that racetrack, so they considered it a ARCA test, and NASCAR considers it too close to a K&N test, you know, at a racetrack where they're going to race. And yes, Claire, there is issues with testing. We will put ourselves out of business if we're not, prevented from doing so. And that's one of the problems with rules. I mean, rules really, really make things worse in so many ways. But we have to have them. And so there's no real explanation on what we should do other than I support, testing bans because, we'll put ourselves out of business. In fact, you'll just find another way to spend the money that you don't have. And that's one of the things that we have going on, Claire, in late model racing on asphalt, as well. Mm-hmm. There's a major debate about the feasibility of running super late models on asphalt nowadays. And, the more rules you put on, the worse things get in some ways. And I'm not a big supporter of rules because I think that they just, that brings you to the point where we are now today in cup racing, for example. So everything on the race car is legislated. And when you have that, you have accidental infractions and intentional infractions, and you're constantly battling tech inspection and infractions and enforcement of the rules and penalties and all these things that are just not really desirable. Fans don't love that, and the competitors don't love that, and they spend a lot of money trying to get around rules, which we always did. But when there were less rules, you were able to spend more time, focusing with your eye on the ball rather than trying to figure out a way around, whatever it might be, Hawkeye or whatever it is, the latest rule, or measuring facility is or whatever.
Yeah, well put, Mark Martin, and I could talk to you all night. The criteria NASCAR says that go into what they deem a K&N series car, one of them is using a NASCAR spec engine, which they did. And I think you rightly put it into, hey, we don't like rules, but we will go out of business if there are not some rules in this area. And I knew you'd be wise and have something interesting to add to the discussion. I look very much forward to seeing you as you induct your friend Jack Roush. And I was so happy when you got inducted, Mark Martin, into the Hall of Fame, and treasure every minute that you're telling stories. And it's just indicative of you that you also are keeping up with the news and that you're on Twitter and people can actually communicate with you, and we're lucky to have you around. So you jump on here anytime, and I so appreciate you coming on tonight, man.
Well, I appreciate what you do, Claire. I hear you on the radio all the time. I'm a huge race fan. I still keep up with it, keep my eye on the ball every day. It's really good to hear you. You are such a trooper. You're an amazing person, and you do a great job, and you're a big asset to motorsports.
Aww. Thank you, Jack. That means a lot. Thank you, Mark. Jack and Mark are a duo. They will be together. Thank you, Mark. That means a lot. And thank you for coming on tonight. I'll see you Friday night, I'm sure, and we'll all be paying attention. Thank you, Mark, for coming on tonight. Really appreciate it, man.
Look forward to seeing you Friday, Claire. Thank you. It's good to be on with you.
You got it. All right, that's Mark Martin. Follows the news. I mean, you can't throw something at him that he doesn't know about. He pays attention to it. And he has, I think, a great answer. I'm going to go to break. I want you to think about what he said. Mark Martin, already in the Hall of Fame, inducting his friend, Jack Roush. They're two of a kind. They're strong. They're smart. And, man, what a duo as Mark Martin inducts his friend, Jack Roush, this Friday night in the Hall of Fame. Got to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.